Welcome to Kotaku Split Screen, the show where we talk about video games one very, very specific topic at a time. I'm your host, Lisa Murray, and joining me today are my co-hosts, Ethan Gatch and Fahey.
Hello, hello.
Hi there.
So, today we're going to be talking about something that is not really my thing at all, which is why I'm talking to you right now and not talking to you about this. We're talking about MMOs, and I have mentioned a little bit on here that I'm not a big online MMO person. So first off, I want to hear your experience, Ethan and Fahey, about MMOs. Which ones do you like? All that jazz.
You want to kick us off, Mike? You've been deep
I've been deep in the new world. I have played MMOs since MMOs were a thing. And when we talk about MMOs right now, we're talking specifically about MMORPGs. Because Destiny is technically an MMO.
Is it technically an MMO?
It's massively multiplayer online.
Of course
it is. Let's get into some definitions right here.
Okay.
So what defines the massive part? Because I think it's, when Destiny came out, the big thing was that it was a shared world shooter or whatever. Because the instances, you can only instance with up to 12 to 24 other players for most activities in the patrol zone. And then obviously for guided activities, it's up to 6. So I'm wondering if that's part of the thing for most people, unless you can be in a world with where you're running around and just seamlessly run into hundreds of other people, it's not quite a massively online multiplayer game.
Isn't that the RPG part?
Well, the RPG part is part of that. It's really confusing, but when I think of an MMO FPS, I'll think of Planetside, where everyone's running around the same map. Everyone's doing the same thing. You can, have massive battles and everything. There are MMORTS games where everyone's sharing a universe and doing their spaceship battles or whatever. An MMORPG is, it follows the traditional RPG structure of levels and gaining experience points, and it's got all those elements, but you're doing it with, maybe 100, maybe 1,000 other people on the same server. So it's really a matter of which genre we're expanding to include so many people, so many horrible, horrible people.
So I have a maybe dumb question. Are all battle royales technically MMOs then?
No. No, I'd say battle royales are their own genre that's just kind of popped up. I've been playing a lot of Fortnite lately, and the extent of the interaction you have with people in Fortnite is at the beginning of the match, you have this little area where you're in for a minute where you can gather guns and shoot each other for no reason or do little dances. And then once you're out of that, you're just shooting people.
Yeah, that's the most intimate experience together, ending someone's life.
Holy shit. Wow.
What have you been up to, Lisa Marie?
How are you doing, Lisa Marie? Is your significant other alive still?
He's great. He's in the other room, fully alive.
Sure he is.
Do a voice.
Do a voice.
To your point, I actually think maybe Faye would be like, no. But I think part of the massively multiplayer thing gets to back in the day when it was a huge thing to have more than a few players be able to play together. And so now I think part of it, it's in the same way that RPG mechanics themselves have been integrated into Call of Duty and most on a certain basic level, ways of upgrading and customizing and leveling up your character are now just de facto, the way most games do progression. I think similarly, people are of course we should have multiplayer. It's now just almost a foregone conclusion in so many games. And it's I'm trying to think of a weird game that you play with dozens of other people, but you don't necessarily think of as an MMO.
Forza Horizon.
There you go. Yeah, shared world driver.
Yeah, you'll see people, if you're online, you can see people racing around and you can go up and challenge them, but it doesn't really feel like, hey, we're working together towards a goal. It's you just happen to be there. Let's do something. Why not?
Right. The crew also did that. I don't know if what the first driving game was did it.
Hold on, I have some follow up questions. What if maybe not all battle royales are MMOs, but some are? So, like, what about Tetris 99, where you're all doing the same thing? You're on the same, like, map, technically, and you do, like, interact with different players. What about Fall Guys? You're actually on the same map working toward the same goal. One of my favorite things is...
You've turned Fahey's brain.
Yeah, this has just come to tear apart this week's subject.
Everything is actually... What about Neopets? That's actually my real question.
Neopets, I'd almost say, was kind of like an MMO. I mean, you did get into the town and you wandered around and there were people there, right? Mm-hmm. There were other pets. And you can play games with them. I would say that Neopets kind of qualifies. Yeah. Same with Furcadia.
Club Penguin.
Club Penguin. Furcadia. Do you know Furcadia? Are you guys familiar?
Nope.
Furcadia is where Neopets players went when they grew up and wanted to have sex with each other.
Yeah, I heard fur, and I was like,
All right.
Anyway, so originally this segment was going to be talking about New World, but what we're doing now is this is going to be our MMORPGs and what is our experience with them segment instead, and then we'll go to the other one after this.
So, Mike, what was the first one you ever played?
First one I ever played, I mean, I'm not going to count the AOL crap that I did, like Neverwinter back on the AOL. I don't really count that. It would have to have been...
You're counting it right now, so...
I'm not counting it. Ultima Online. I'm sitting there and connecting and my modem making a screechy noise and getting on there and... Wow, it's almost a weird parallel to New World, which we'll get to later. But sitting outside the main camp, cutting wood, and then people would come along and kill me. And it was transformational to suddenly be in a world where there were other people doing the same thing you'd be doing in a game. Like, I was a big RPG fan at that point anyway, and suddenly... I mean, you can see other people wandering around, and it was like not night and day, but it was like a switch had been turned on with Ultima Online, and when the light was turned on, you didn't see much of crap. It was crappy 2D game and very primitive, you know, compared to these days. Of course, that was two and a half decades ago, but it was life changing for me. It was suddenly. I have a community. I have online. I mean, it didn't really kick in full until I got to, like, EverQuest and Dark Age of Camelot, which came out in, like, 1999. Asheron's Call, Microsoft's MMO. I was big into Asheron's Call for a while. And it was then when I realized that I could have friends without leaving my house. And for me, that's what MMORPGs were about back then. It's changed over time now.
I was gonna say, like, what, in what ways do you think it's changed? Like, are there specific phases that you think of when you think of, like, that genre? Because, like, to me, as mostly an outsider, you know, I've played a few throughout the years, and it feels pretty. There are obviously are interesting innovations and other stuff, but it feels pretty like you go there to hang out and grind stuff.
I think the phases for an MMO depend on the player more than they do on the actual MMO itself. I think players go through the phases, and it's kind of what drives it, is your individual wants and needs. When I first started playing MMOs, I was in a really bad relationship. Now that I look back on it, I found friends online. I needed friends. I needed friends big time. I needed everyone. I wanted to feel important. I was young. I had a crappy job, and I came home, and I was part of a group that was necessary. Back in those days, I would meet female players at the time and we'd flirt or fool around. I met a couple of them back then. So there is a time in your life when you don't have a lot going on and it can fill that space. Sometimes it can overload that space and you can get addicted, which I wrote about on a Kotaku story a while ago about my EverQuest addiction that kind of nearly cost me the person I'm currently have children with. I nearly lost
married
them.
Married to?
Not quite married to.
Married That's adjacent.
Married adjacent, yeah. We consider ourselves the husband and spouses.
Good enough.
My partner is non-binary. So I screw up every once in a while. So if you're listening to the podcast and I mention my spouse and I say the wrong pronouns, feel free to call me out on Twitter or yell at me or throw things at me. But now that I have a partner and I have children and I have a relatively good job, unless, you know, Lisa Marie's ruining our topic.
All right. I was just asking the important questions here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever. but no, I have a job that keeps me engaged longer than, you know, 9 to 5. I've got kids. I've got a spouse. I've got this cat that's on my lap right now.
Multiple cats.
We have 6 cats.
So many cats.
Jinx is currently on my leg right now because I'm in my wheelchair, and this is her spot when I'm in the wheelchair. But I don't feel like I need that validation so much. So when I'm playing a game like New World nowadays, I could take or leave a guild. I don't need to be in a guild. I'm perfectly fine just wasting some time wandering about in the woods. So I think the way the MMOs evolve over the years, you can look at things at Ultima Online, and there are features of that game that are still present today. I mean, New World just launched, and it's all about crafting and PvP. It's almost like a 3D remake of that sort of concept from way back when. But my attitude's completely different, and I'm approaching it in a different way. So,
and Lisa Marie, you don't like MMOs?
I'm not really big on.
You've tried to ban them, right?
That's correct. I tried to pass legislation. But I have done stuff like, I've done some stuff.
Well, we know.
You've done some stuff. My goodness, the stuff you've done could fill a book.
Probably, actually. Anyway.
Chapter 5, murdered my Australian friend.
Okay, look, we're more than friends. Rude. It's pretty serious.
Well, the more intimate you get, the more deadly you get. So I don't want to... What?
This is all assumption. This really says more about the both of you for assuming than me. I'm going to move on. So obviously, as we addressed, Neopets is an MMO. The Scientologist MMO. Yeah. So obviously, I'm very well versed. I also used to play this. I guess it's kind of like an MMO sim, like government sim called Cyber Nations. And I was like the head. It's very similar to Nation States and kind of built off of that.
Model UN?
Sort of, but you can also make your own nation, right? Like it's its own thing. And so
for some reason, I imagine you really enjoying that.
Model UN or this game?
This game where you get to be in charge of your entire nation.
I don't know what you're trying to say, but I'm going to choose to take it as a compliment.
That's what I mean. No, I mean, you're the type of person I could see running a country.
Considering the leaders of countries we've had recently, again, I'm not really sure how to take this, but I'm choosing to take it as a compliment.
I mean, I wish you nothing but the best in running your country.
Thank you. You're welcome. My secretary of gaming.
Woo! Microtransactions for everybody.
So that was really kind of my first foray of really getting into something where I was on like forums for my guild. And then I was like one of the head whatever at the guild. I was the head of recruiting because obviously I love talking. And this was like back in the day too. So we were on IRC for all like the guild members or like the heads of the guild. It is one of the
Internet nerdiest, relay chat.
Nerdiest, lamest things in my history, I think. But I was pretty into that for a while. And, you know, obviously stuff like RuneScape, I played RuneScape for a bit when it was big, when I was in like middle school in the early 2000s. That's mostly it. Also Tetris 99 and all of the other, what is a genre that I broke Fahey with?
All of them. And I know Ethan's approaching a hard stop here. He's got some stuff to do and might have to drop out for a bit. But real quick, Ethan, what have you played?
You can't call me Nathan. I heard it.
I did not. I was going to call you Ian.
So for the longest time, I was obviously a huge Final Fantasy fan. I remember when I first heard about Final Fantasy XI, I just was like, this must be the most amazing game ever. It's all I want to play. I'm never going to be able to because I have terrible dial-up and our PC will never be able to run this game. And I think at some point they, when they, what, was Xbox the first console they ported it to?
Yes, I think it was.
I feel like it was oddly, like, they made, like, a weird play. They were like, give it to us. I think maybe because also, the PC sort of, like, adjacency of the brand, they were like, yes, cool. But so I remember, like, going over to a friend's house, and he had it, and I remember just, like, spending forever, like, making a character, and, like, I feel like even before that, I had, like, taken home his Brady game guide for the game, and was just, like, going through all the classes and looking at all the stuff, and, like, just, you know, just trying imagining my perfect Final Fantasy XI character. And if, like, to this day, I've never played more than, like, 10 minutes of it. Because by the time I finally got to the place where I could actually play it, I was like, well, Final Fantasy XIV's out, I'll just play that. But the two MMOs I've spent the most time in are probably Knights of the Old Republic, which, gosh, was that 2011 it came out? I'm trying to think. It's almost 10 years now. I think this is a 10-year anniversary or something. And I loved that game. I've played, you know, maybe a few dozen hours of Final Fantasy XIV, Realm Reborn, really enjoy that. And I've tried to get into Phantasy Star Online 2.
That's a hard one to get into.
the space mall. I'm like, this is like, yeah, I want to hang out in the anime space mall. This sounds cool. And there's definitely, in theory, it always is. And then you get there and it's like, okay, all right, well, what are we doing?
Here we are in the anime space mall.
Wait, but so one of the ironies for me is that, like, I play these games mostly alone. I remember one of the things I like the idea of being around other players, but I'm never really tempted to actually go try and meet them or interact with them in the same way that I'm, like, very shy in IRL. But it's like, I love playing single player RPGs, but, like, there's something immersive about a world to me where you see all these other characters running around, and instead of being non-player characters, they're controlled by the AI. They're actually people and they have agency. And even if you never really interact with them, they sort of, like, just ambiently make the world feel so much more alive.
Yeah, you can people watch. You can people watch it in a MMO. I'm doing a lot of that.
You can, like, follow them into places, or just like, oh, like, there's, like, this is, like, a good place to grind over here. Or, like, I know Knights of the Old Republic, I'm sure maybe other MMOs had did it before, but, like, was very good at sort of funneling players to certain areas so that it was easy to, like, catch other people going through a part of a dungeon. And then you sort of were, like, not actually playing together, but, like, you were kind of linked up and were just, like, it's like you had hopped on a ride at an amusement park together and you were on the roller coaster and, like, you're never going to talk to this person, but, like, it's nicer than being on the roller coaster alone. And so that's my personal experience. I mean, so you mentioned Destiny, and I played just over 1,000 hours between the first and second game.
It's just a little.
And that is also, it's very similar where I think it's the kind of game where if it were just a single player shooter a la Halo, it would be one kind of thing, but just simply having other people running around doing stuff, even though I wish that game's tools for interacting were much more robust, it creates this whole sense of a universe that doesn't exist otherwise in, say, like, you know, Final Fantasy 15 or Dragon Quest 11.
Destiny is very, 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 very social, because have you ever played with the ball?
Yeah, well, actually, I have played with the ball. I think they destroyed the ball. I think the ball is no more.
What?
I have to double check this to double check my sources.
I never played Destiny again. I feel like something
happened. It could have just been memes, but I know something has happened with the ball.
Oh.
Check back next week to find out what.
that entire idea of people watching reminds me of GTA Online, which is also, of course, an MMO.
Oh yeah.
I've played that, and I think that's actually exactly what you said, Ethan, is what I don't... So, okay, for context, I have started doing this thing where I'll play GTA Online, but then I'll just go in, like, passive mode and just chill. Just use it more as, like, The Sims with chaos.
Oh, yeah, like, you're...
That's a great tagline.
It's like that movie Free Guy. You're just sitting in a coffee shop as things are exploding around you.
Yeah, I'll just kind of, like, I'll do some missions, I'll do some races, maybe an organized heist, but nothing too crazy. And then just, like, where do I want to live? What kind of car do I want to drive, right? And that's how I approach MMOs. And it's kind of fun watching all of the chaos, but I also don't care about anyone around me. And I just also want everyone to leave me alone.
Well, that makes sense. Speaking of people, speaking of everyone leaving us alone, we should probably pull a break right now before we get to the segment on New World.
Yes. And this is where we say goodbye to Ethan forever. Or until goodbye, next Ethan.
So long, RIP. Left in the chat. I'll see you next week.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Kotaku Split Screen. With us are myself, Lisa Marie, and Fahey. Just us.
Hi.
But this part is going to be a lot of fun because I've already interrogated Fahey's brain a little bit. Now I get to do that more about New World, which is Amazon's new MMO. And I've been actually really curious about this, despite not being a big MMO person, just because of people saying they really enjoy it despite all of the cues. And basically, Fahey, give me the breakdown. Tell me what I need to know about New World.
Okay. For newer listeners, this segment is called AFQs because we're very witty. Ask Fahey questions. It's like FAQs, but twisted. Oh, yeah. What was the question again? I completely missed it.
First off, just tell me about the game. Oh, my God.
Okay. So New World... one of the biggest MMOs, and we're talking about in MMO circles, one of the biggest, most exciting MMOs to come out in years, among people in MMO circles. Mm-hmm. There are MMO players who religiously go to, like, MMORPG or Mmorpga.com, and, you know, follow every new game. And for the past couple of years, it's been all stuff imported from Korea, stuff imported from Japan. There's a big sword, Legend of Sword something online that's really big right now. And they all have their own certain flavor. This is one of the first major, you know, English language developed MMOs in quite some time. Amazon, of course, had a huge, they had a bunch of streamers playing it. You know, they drummed up a lot of interest in it through the various betas and things. But I don't know, it's kind of like, it was like a new Harry Potter book coming out. I don't know if people relate to that, but it's like, it's not just a book release. This is an occasion for people in MMO circles. This is, here comes the next big thing, possibly. So New World, like the setting, there's a lot of people talk about colonialism when they talk about New World. And indeed, it was a part of that when it was first being developed. But Amazon kind of pivoted and realized that everyone hated that idea. And
everyone hates colonialism.
Yeah, the idea that we were going to go land on an island and kill the natives was bad. So what it is now, it's set in that same time frame. You'll see people wearing colonial outfits, you know, vests, the pirate costumes, whatever, like woodsman outfits. But what it is you've landed on this mysterious island, the Island of Legend, the island of, I can't remember its name right now. That's how important it is. Mm-hmm. But it's a legendary island. There have been rumors about it. It has a strange power where life and death don't matter, which explains how you keep coming back to life after you die.
I mean, I already knew that.
Mm-hmm. And instead of what it is you're trapped on the island. It's populated by, like, ghasts and ghouls and wild animals that try to attack you. And those ghasts and ghouls aren't natives, but they're the the remnants of settlers who came before and were vanquished by mysterious evil forces. So it's weird because you'll play the game. I mean, it starts off with you crashing on an island, then you meet a mysterious evil force that kind of sets the tone, and then everything's fine. For like 20 levels, it's like you're surviving on your own. And like, no, every region has its own really well-off camp, like a settlement where you go to, and there's buildings and housing, and everyone's fine. And if you need any food, you can just walk right outside and dig up some sweet potatoes, or cut down a tree if you need wood. Everything's in plentiful supply, and it's kind of hard to see. This is kind of like a paradise, really.
Yeah, like no settlements need your help.
Yeah, there's green trees, and there's game all over the place, and you walk into the woods, and there's like 30 boars, and you're like, I'm gonna kill all these boars and take their meat and make some sandwiches. But as you get higher in level, and do the story quests, more of the evil nature of the place reveals itself. So you'll start, they'll start being like rifts that open up and evil creatures pouring out of them that aren't available to lower level players. So you don't notice them until you're higher level. And then they're like, oh wait, there's evil here. I had to be level 20 to recognize that evil. One of the whole big focuses of this game is player versus player combat. Mm-hmm. There are three factions, which are the Syndicate and the other two bad ones. The Syndicate is based on science and thinking, and it's kind of like a secret society of, as I pictured it when I signed up for the Syndicate, erudite thinkers ready to conquer the new world with their brains. There's one of the other faction, the Marauders. There we go. They're the militant.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And the third one, which I can never remember the name for, they're the church, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our holy providence is to conquer this island.
God has returned to split screen.
Yeah, God's coming to this evil place to clear it all up. And those three factions fight over forts and fight over control, so they can have bragging rights. So when you open up the map, you see, purple for the Syndicate or green for the Marauders, I think, and yellow for the church.
So speaking of purple, this takes place, it'll tie in. This takes place in like what, the colonial North America, like time period, I guess?
Around that period, yes.
Okay. But you have bright purple hair. So that.
Yes.
Okay. So.
I mean, they're berries in the New World. You can dye your hair using natural berries.
I feel like anyone who's tried to dye their hair is probably thinking otherwise. I mean,
if my spouse was here, they'd tell you that natural berry. I don't know. Come out of the bathroom in the middle of the night and their hair plastered down in purple. And I'm like, oh, I guess you're dyeing your hair now.
Do they do it with berries?
No, probably not. I don't know. I can't get back there. We're about to move into a house where I can actually access the whole house. So maybe that mystery will be solved. But I mean, I tried dyeing my beard with chalk once.
They sell dye.
I don't want to permanently dye my beard a weird color. That's goofy.
You can get like a especially colors like that would fade very easily.
I just figure I'm just trying to accent my beard because I'm so bald, and I just kind of lean into the baldness. But yes,
you can look lovely with a dyed beard.
Well, it's so gray now that I just look like Santa Claus.
That means it's lighter, so you could dye it easier.
But when you get gray hair, you'll get it soon. When you get gray hair, don't frown. It's a little harder to get the color into the gray, the transparent gray follicle or whatever. But yes, color, you can have different colored hair. they wouldn't limit it to just hair colors. It would just be so bland if you didn't have a splash of color added to it. I mean, literally, it's just, running through the woods. The forts are made of wood. Everything's made of wood. We need color in here. Damn it. That guy's going to have a purple beard or purple hair, whatever.
Okay, so you also mentioned this is the first kind of, like, original, like non-Asian MMO to come out for a while. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like just like GTA, we've also had stuff like Elder Scrolls Online or even Fallout 76. Like, how does it compare to those MMOs that are based off of other games or franchises?
I don't know. I'd say it most similar to the Elder Scrolls Online, which started off really crappy. Sorry, the Elder Scrolls Online, but it's not like Bethesda cares. It started off kind of crappy, but then got really good, and people love it now. But that's more of the fantasy setting. I've only tinkered in Fallout 76, so I'm not quite sure how it would compare. But I'd say, I mean, the Elder Scrolls Online was probably the last big, I mean, because traditional MMORPG players aren't looking at Fallout 76 and going, oh, yeah, it's our next MMO. But I'd say the Elder Scrolls Online was probably the closest thing to this. It was like the last one that came out and everyone was pretty excited for.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
But can I actually, if I want to go on now, is it going to be easy for me to play, not just in terms of I'm not a big MMO person, but can I get in the damn game or are queues still taking forever?
The queues are not taking forever anymore. I have not encountered a queue in the past week. I think it's calmed down a great deal. I think we're due for a great server crunching after that initial thing. I mean, I know I still hear people talking about queues every once in a while, mainly on like Twitter or something, but what was it? I posted a picture on Twitter last week where I had a queue and it was one. I was like, you're next. And I was just waiting for some dork to log off. And then I think it might have even been a bug because I logged off, I stopped trying and came back and it put me right in. So yeah, right now you can get into the game, especially us. Since we're not working, we can get in during the day if we need to for work purposes.
I would never do that.
Yeah, she would.
Who would do that? That is time theft.
It's not time theft if you tell work that you're going in. Like I can say I'm going in the new world since I'm assigned the game, and yeah, I have reason to be.
I don't think I have a reason to.
But I still remember the day after the game came out, I was on at like 10 in the morning, because Patricia, our boss, told me to just spend the day playing the game, looking for stuff to write about. So I was there at 10 and people were logging in and going, well, the queues are gone. And I'm like, welcome to not prime time.
Right.
Welcome to everyone being at school. It's not the queues gone. They were like, they must have changed something. And I'm like, no. People have lives. You apparently don't. Good job, buddy.
So then also in the approachability aspect, you know, I am not a big MMO person, like I said, and how intuitive is it? I don't think that it has to be. I'm just kind of, you know, wondering for myself.
I think there are little things about it that aren't very intuitive. What was it? The other day, I was playing it, and I've been playing the game for 2 weeks now, and I was playing it, and I suddenly realized, oh, that was it. When you fish in the game, you can fish. It's one of the resource gathering skills. You'll catch a fish and you'll hold it up and it looks really cool and it goes in your inventory. There were recipes that ask for fish fillets.
Yeah.
And I could not for the life of me figure out how to turn a fish into a fish fillet. I thought there was like a crafting table I'd have to go to, like cooking, where they'd be like, okay, make fish fillets out of fish. It turns out, and this is 2 weeks into the game, I've been catching fish the whole time. You have to hold down S when your inventory's on and click on them to salvage a fish. And when you salvage that fish, it turns into fillets. And that made no sense to me whatsoever. And then I found some other things you could salvage to make happen. Like, there were recipes. If you salvage them, you learn the recipes. And I'm like, what? by throwing them away and making them in the garbage, they become useful. Okay.
I hate that. But, just because I would be so scared to try it.
Yeah, it's like salvage. I'm getting rid of this forever. I mean, at this point in the game, 2 weeks in, now that I know the fish thing, mm-hmm. I'm regularly in my inventory just going, salvage, 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 salvage. Don't need that. Mm-hmm. The game has a weight, an encumbrance thing. Since so much is focused on gathering, mm-hmm. you can only carry a certain weight. And so you've got to salvage a bunch of stuff. When I was learning how to cut trees, which in-game is just hitting E near the tree, but you've got to skill up before you can hit the really big, good trees. I was learning to do that, and I would dump, like, hundreds of pieces of wood just out in the ground. I'm like, okay, I just want to get my skills up. Don't need all that wood. Drop it.
Oh, God. But
what's cool about it from a people-watching perspective is you can wander out into the woods, and there'll be, like, 10 people harvesting wood, and there'll be, like, tree trunks everywhere. And they eventually grow back, and it's pretty fast, but when you get a bunch of people harvesting, you can, like, run by and go, oh, look, there were a bunch of people here. You can see their mark in the land just briefly. But that's what's cool to me right now, since I'm not really into the whole guild thing at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of guilds, and also why I don't typically like MMOs, it seems like some people aren't being so nice.
Yeah, no, what the game is based on PvP. Most of the end game is going to be PvP, land control. You have three factions. Those factions aren't separated by each other. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm in my hometown right now is, I want to say Windsward, and that's owned by the Syndicate. So while I'm in that town, I can, you know, there's certain resources I can pick up for free since I'm a member. I get certain discounts from crafting and stuff. But there are other players from the other two syndicates who are wandering around doing stuff in Windswards and doing quests. They're in general chat. Like, if you play World of Warcraft, you have the Alliance and the Horde. They don't share chat. And that's where Kek comes from. K-E-K?
Yep.
That was the translation, the machine translation for LOL. So when like, a Horde character would shout LOL, it would translate to Kek.
Why?
I don't, because they want to keep people, they don't want the two different factions talking with each other. They want it to be separate, like those are our enemies. New World doesn't have that. New World has all the enemies against each other, shouting at each other in the same area. I mean, each of the three factions has their own chat channel. Like, I'm in the purple chat for my syndicate chat. So I can see the plans they make. But in the middle of, like, a combat, like, each region has a fort. That's where the main conflict happens. Like, if you lose control of that fort, you can lose control of the whole region. So I'm watching the purple chat go, we're defending our region. And then I'm watching general chat for the people who are attacking our region, just shouting at us and calling us names. And we're in there shouting and calling them names back. And, like, I had voice chat. I wrote a story about it. Voice chat the other day. I was sitting in the middle of the town that we own. And some, I didn't know voice chat was enabled, local voice chat on my computer. And suddenly some teenager starts yelling, yeah, all the purples are gay. They all suck. Purples can eat shit. And I was like, I'm going to disable this feature and never turn it on again. Woo. That, and I'm afraid I'm going to wander somewhere remotely and there'll be two people sitting in front of each other face to face. And that's the universal MMORPG sign for cybering. Yeah, so if you're ever in the middle of an RPG, an MMORPG, and you wander across two people in, like, a remote place just sitting quietly and facing each other, they're doing it.
Okay, again, this is why I don't go on MMOs. That's all.
I my past is shady as hell on MMOs. I have emoted, and this is back when I was single and solo, and I have emoted. Lake of Ill Omen is a popular spot in EverQuest, the original EverQuest. And I was almost famous at the time for accidentally sending whole paragraphs of cybersex to general chat in Lake of Ill Omen and then logging off. Like, oh,
wait,
crap.
What do you mean almost? How are you famous for it if it didn't happen?
No, and then logging off. I mean, I did.
Oh, okay. Great.
Good I did. Job. I would be talking to a friend, and we'd be getting spicy in our chat, and then I'd accidentally hit slash OOC, which is to do the OOC out of character channel, which broadcasts to the whole area, and I'd hit enter, and then I'd immediately log off. I'd be like, oh, damn, never mind, bye. Things were racy back then, and I can only assume they still are. I mean, World of Warcraft has Goldshire is where the Alliance in many World of Warcraft servers go to do RP. And I'm doing air quotes because they're doing RP. It's mainly like all Draenei, which are the Horned Demon characters, are Fudenari.
Okay. So they're female just characters. You just started speaking a whole other language to
Fudenari,
me.
Fudenari, which I may be pronouncing wrong, is when you're a female-presenting character, but you have a giant, for some reason, male member.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a big thing in World of Warcraft, in the RP servers. Anyway, New World doesn't seem to have a big RP server thing yet. I'm not seeing a whole lot of... Mainly it's people yelling at each other. I've been playing for 2 weeks now. I have to admit I'm not as engaged when I log in. And it might be because I'm not engaging in the war. And that's my next step, is going to the war, getting involved, you know, getting in one of the big guilds. Pandemic and Endemic, their sister guild, are big on our server. They're like the main syndicate guilds. I had one for a while that was just me. It was called Birdemic, based on there's a really trashy garbage film that the people from Riff Trax do a lot. They make fun of it a lot. So I was the only member of Birdemic for a while, and I wouldn't actively not see people to join me. But maybe it's time to embrace that. I mean, because right now I'll log in, I'll do some quests, I'll run the samey villages and fight samey creatures to you know, kill seven of these, pick up three of these things from chests, bring them back. And I mean, the quests are getting a little more interesting as I get higher level. They're starting to be more multi-tiered and go here, do some other things. But yeah. It's not really going to keep me engaged. I can feel it.
So can you also, like, wipe out a faction if they lose control of their fort and their region?
I assume that can happen. I've not seen it yet. I mean, you can't wipe out a faction. They're still going to be around, and they'll still be able to plot. But I assume you can take all their property and leave them without, you know, a base, like their own home base.
They'll be like a nomad faction.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, everything will be owned by green and yellow and the purples. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, there's two factions that are warring. Why doesn't one of them team up with the syndicate, whichever one you're in, and do that?
Profits. I feel like at times there are plans to do that, because I have seen fights out in the wilderness. That's the other thing. You can turn on PvP or you don't have to. So you'll be running through the woods just, you know, skinning some wolves or mining some silver. And, like, right down the way, there's people fighting for their lives against each other. And you're like, great, guys. Could you guys keep it down? I'm trying to harvest some wood here. So, and that's kind of fun. And the people watching aspect is just running through the woods. And you're like, la, 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 la. And there's a horrible bloody conflict going on. And you're like, not part of it. Bye. PvP servers are great. But yeah, that's New World. Is there anything else you want to know about it?
I don't think so. I think I learned a lot more today than I ever thought I needed to.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you can one day, and we did a sort of MMO centric episode back when Nathan and Ash were my co-host, and we talked a lot about relationships. So we got into a lot of the MMO stuff there. But really, what it comes down to, MMOs for me, and it's funny because I was writing a story. I wrote a story about New World the other day, and one of the big things for me is the chance to make your own story. Your character has their own story. I embraced this with World of Warcraft. I had a character named Stu, S-T-U, a little stumpy dwarf. And I made a whole backstory for him and reason why he was in this fight. And then he went to the afterlife in their new expansion. And I'm like, Stu's dead. Why is Stu dead? He was very upset about being dead for a while. But he got better. I like making your own story. My character right now, he has motivations. He wants to be a gourmet cook.
Aww.
And he's got plans, and I wrote that in a story about New World. I said, it's the chance to make your own narrative and tell your own tale and blaze your own little trail. And even if you don't engage with anybody, if you're just a solo player, you can still, in your head, like, you make up stories for your Sims. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I wrote that, and one of our editors, Alexandra, wrote in my wrote my little document, is this a little too cheery, rosy-cheeked, you know, optimistic? And I'm like, you are so jaded. Let me have this one happy place.
No, I really do love that. And it's kind of exactly like you said about The Sims, or even me being like, I'm just going to do my own thing amidst the chaos here in GTA Online. Like, no, I totally get that. And that sounds lovely. And I don't think it's too rosy-cheeked. I think it's just great.
Yes, we can love things and have joy.
Yeah, Alexandra, we can have joy.
Stop killing joy, Alexandra.
I guess we'll find out whether or not she listens to the podcast, but whether or not she brings this up. No, I do really also appreciate you breaking down MMOs, the good, the bad, and the weird. So really eye-opening. But no, this is great. And it really also took me back to some of the like old days of RuneScape, or like being in a guild for something, which I haven't thought about in forever. So
it's like, cut to a year later and we're going to all be in our own Kotaku Final Fantasy 14 guild.
That it's actually like sounds really cute. Like, I'm not really into MMOs, but that sounds like the, like, I don't know. It's a vibe. I think I'm into it.
We came close to it at one point. It was Cecilia and Jason, and now they're both off doing their own thing. Yeah. People leave us. But speaking of people leaving us, it's probably time to leave Kotaku Split Screen. Don't you think?
Yeah, not like the show's going to come back.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Well, I think we might be talking about fandoms next week.
Oh, yeah. I was really excited too. And actually, a listener suggested it. So shout out to you.
Shout out to Guy.
I forget your name. It's on Twitter. I can look it back up. But yeah, I'm actually really excited. I saw that. And so we're doing it. But for now. You've been listening to Kotaku's Split Screen Podcast. You can reach us via email at splitscreen@kotaku.com and on Twitter at Ethan Gatch. If you want to reach out to that traitor who abandoned us mid-episode.
Make sure he's okay.
He's fine. Anyway, you can reach me at LisaMarie_Lynn. That's LYNN. That's how you spell Lynn. Unless you're a weirdo. Or at Uncle Fahey, our producer is Michaela Heck, and our sound engineer is Ryan Allen. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye!